plate a potential nugget.
If I link it to another area of curiosity and work, Amy, leadership transitions, when a new leader joins a company and comes on board, especially in these times, COVID times.
Yes.
What I've observed is derailments often don't happen because of the what of the job, but it's the how of the job and the interpersonal relationships. So maybe just shining the light in the context of transitions, any nuances in what you've observed?
Yes. You know, I think the challenge of transitions is that people, they don't know the new context well. They don't know the new subordinates or new colleagues well. And so they want to make a good impression. So they are tiptoeing. They may be reluctant to do or say things that will make them look bad. In the way that when we have a group of very familiar colleagues or friends, we're much more relaxed. Well, in new settings, we're not relaxed, right? That's part of the nature of new settings. But then there's a risk there, because if you're in a new setting, the very thing you should be doing is being authentic and revealing that which you know and that which you don't know, and asking your new colleagues for help and for insight, and explaining the things that you care about, and listening carefully to what they care about, right? Those are the things that you do to build a great team. And yet those are the things you may be less willing to do because they are interpersonally risky. So I think that the learn how behavior is far more salient in leadership transitions than the learn what behavior. You've likely, if you're doing a leadership transition, you've probably already read all of the published articles you can read about the new company or the new role, and you know that kind of information, but you don't know the information that is more people dependent and more subtle.
And if we distill it to, you know, a few you know, insights for both sides, right? The leader coming in and the organization that's sort of welcoming the new leader.
Yes.
Any headline themes that occur to you in terms of what to bear in mind to create that safety in the context of a transition?
Yeah, I think the two headlines for me are humility and curiosity. And by humility, I do not mean false modesty. Right? I mean humility about the very real fact that you don't yet know them very well. You don't know the company or the role very well. You are coming in with this wonderful opportunity to do great things, but you start without all the knowledge you need to do it well. So reminding yourself of that and then letting others know that you know that is a tremendously powerful stance for, you know, people will warm up to you. People will want to help you when you are clear and clean about the fact that you know you don't know everything yet. So that's the humility part, right? This is a new situation and, you know, here I am ready to learn. And then curiosity is a natural sibling of humility, because you're all ears. You're asking good questions. You're listening intently to what people are sharing. And what I have found is when new leaders come in, whether in the same organization or a new organization, to a new role with humility and curiosity, people are on their side, want them to succeed.
What I've found, Amy, is, you know, people often worry that if I'm humble, then will I get the respect and the followership when I transition companies?
Yeah, I understand that. And it's ironically, it's wrongheaded, meaning that it's the people who come in and fail to be humble that actually lose people. They lose commitment. They lose buy-in. Because it's just a factual reality that you're new, right? You came in from the outside. You obviously have much to learn. And when you aren't open about the fact that you have much to learn, people are disappointed. So there's a sort of strange irony that people think they'll look better when they are more boastful or arrogant, but in fact, they look better when they're more humble and curious. Mm-hmm. And just to illustrate, in the United States, about a decade ago, Alan Mulally came in from Boeing to become the new CEO of Ford at a time when Ford Motor Company was losing $17 billion with a B US dollars that year. Mm-hmm. And so we've got this outsider coming in, new role. Yeah, it's a really tough, really urgent situation. And I've written a case study about this, but if you look at so much published material about this, if you look at the things that he did and said, he embodies what I'm talking about. He embodies a kind of situational humility that says, okay, team, you know, we're losing all this money. Tell me what isn't working. And then how can we help? How can we work on this together? What are you seeing? What are you bringing? That is just, when you stop to reflect on it, it's an incredibly powerful, confident stance. So confidence and arrogance are not the same thing, right? Confidence is a sense that I know I have skills. I know I'm able to learn. I'm interested in learning and I'm passionate about what's possible. Arrogance is, you can't tell me anything I don't already know.
If leadership transitions are an area of curiosity for you, you might like the curated playlist Settling into a New Context, where we share perspectives from multiple people around how they transitioned into a new environment. One of them is Ravi Venkatesan, a seasoned corporate leader who had a long stint in Cummins and Microsoft, and the last two stints as country heads of these two organizations. He speaks about how he transitioned when he took on a board chairperson role with Bank of Baroda a few years back.
I know nothing about banking, and I know even less about public sector. But yet, Raghuram Rajan and Jayant Sinha felt that it was important that I take it on, so I did. Now, what do you do in this situation? And you know that the place is filled with landmines and you can step on anything and without realizing it and get blown up. So what you have to do is listen intently. And I did. I made it a very conscious effort to listen to a bunch of people, retired chairman of the Bank of Baroda. Okay, so help me understand from your perspective, you know, what I should do, what the issues are, how would you handle them? Hmm. You get a certain perspective. I went and spoke to Vagul of ICICI and PJ Nayak of Axis Bank. Sure. Even though they've been around and seen the evolution of the banking sector. I've met a lot of our own employees and so forth. So from this, you begin to piece together first the situation, and then out of that emerges a theory of change, which is, you know, what interventions are really going to make a difference, and who are going to be the important allies in this. If you don't listen and you come in with a point of view, you start, you know, jumping into action right away, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you haven't built this nuanced and reasonably accurate picture of the landscape. So I'm very, very intentional about these things.
I love the point he makes around discovering and piecing together the theory of change. And I think you can only do that if you focus not just on the learn what, but also on the learn how, as Amy says.